Before we begin, I need to disclose that this episode is entirely AI-generated, including the voice you're hearing. Today's episode is brought to you by Timeflow Pro, a fictional productivity app that organizes your schedule with color-coded priority blocks. Please note that some information in this episode may be hallucinated, so I encourage you to double-check anything important from the original course materials. Welcome to the penultimate week of your online education strategies course. We've reached Unit 7, and timing couldn't be more appropriate. We're talking about time management and goal setting. You're at a critical juncture. Over 80% of the course is behind you, but success now depends on turning everything you've learned into concrete habits. The strategies we discuss today aren't just academic exercises, they're tools for managing the increasing complexity of university life. Let me frame what's at stake. Time is non-renewable. Once spent, it cannot be recovered, purchased, or saved for later use. Every shortcut you take diminishes learning opportunities. Every procrastination episode steals time that could be better invested. This unit asks you to connect time management with self-management. It's not about rigid scheduling or productivity theater. It's about knowing what you want, planning how to achieve it, and executing efficiently. By the end of this lecture, you'll understand why university time management differs from high school, how to estimate time on task accurately, how to reduce procrastination and distractions, and how to create realistic, measurable goals. You'll also be prepared to complete the time estimator exercise for your discussion forum and develop 3 SMART goals for your final academic success plan assignment. Let's start with a fundamental shift. Time management in university is qualitatively different from what you've experienced before. For the last 12 years, most of your school time was managed by educators and parents. What you did and when you did it was controlled by others. Even after school time was often structured by scheduled activities and nightly homework due the next day. University flips this entirely. A significant amount of time management is now left to you. While assignment due dates and classroom activities still exist, learning at the college level requires decision-making and information evaluation that works best when you're an active partner in your own education. Consider a typical college assignment, let's say a classroom presentation. You're given time to research, reflect, reach your own conclusions, and determine which information best suits your presentation. The instructor determines when you present and how long it lasts, but how much time you spend gathering information, which sources you use, and how you synthesize them, that's entirely up to you. This autonomy comes with a cost. You're expected to spend at least 2 hours of outside learning for every hour of lecture. Some weeks require more, depending on semester timing and course load. Many students underestimate this dramatically. They spend far less time than needed and are shocked by the results. The consequences of poor time management can cascade. One evening of procrastination doesn't just result in a poorly done assignment. It can trigger a domino effect that jeopardizes success across multiple courses. Let me give you a concrete example. A student has a business assignment due but isn't in the mood to work. She convinces herself to think about it while scrolling social media. The evening slips away. Now she has little time left. She stays up late trying to complete it but can't finish. Exhausted, she decides to work on it during the hour she planned to study for her math quiz. She knows there won't be enough time to do a good job, so she puts together what she has and hopes for a passing grade. Now one procrastination episode has created potential problems in 2 courses. She'll take the math quiz tired from staying up too late. Her lack of time management has raised issues in both classes, requiring extra work to bring grades up. Any future problems could overwhelm her completely. The financial cost of poor time management is staggering. Delaying graduation by just 2 semesters can cost over $150,000 when you factor in additional tuition, interest on student loans, lost wages, and lost retirement earnings. This brings us to a critical skill, accurately predicting how long academic tasks will take. Most of us are terrible at this, which is why the time estimator exercise is so important. The time estimator asks you to break down reading sections 3.1 to 3.4 from your textbook, estimate how long each will take, record actual start and end times, calculate the difference, and note distractions. This isn't busy work. It's building awareness of how you actually spend time versus how you think you spend time. The gap between expectation and reality is often surprising. Let me walk you through what makes time estimation so difficult. First, most of us aren't accurate timekeepers, especially when we're engaged in a task. Second, our estimations must account for interruptions and unforeseen problems. Academic tasks often depend on completing other things first. and time can vary dramatically from one instance to another. If your instructor assigned 3 chapters, you have no idea how long each takes until you examine them. Chapter 1 might be 30 pages, Chapter 2 45 pages, Chapter 3 only 20 pages, but mostly charts and graphs. By page count, Chapter 3 seems fastest, but studying charts and graphs often takes longer than regular reading. Not all reading takes the same time. Fiction is usually faster than technical manuals. A research article in your field might read quickly because you understand the concepts, but the same length text in an unfamiliar subject could take twice as long. Your textbook provides time on task estimates for common college activities. General academic reading averages 5 to 7 minutes per page. Technical reading with charts and data averages 10 to 15 minutes per page. Simple quiz questions oriented toward recall take 1-2 minutes per question. Complex questions requiring application or synthesis take 2-3 minutes. Math problem sets average 15 minutes per complex question. Writing estimates include the full process: drafting, editing, proofing, finalizing. Short writing without research averages 60 minutes per page. Research papers average 105 minutes per page, including research time. These are averages. Your times may differ, and that's fine. The goal is developing awareness of your personal patterns so you can plan accurately. Let's practice. Think of a reading assignment you have this week. Before starting, estimate how long it will take. Write down your prediction, then track your actual time and compare. Pay attention to what changed your initial estimate. Were there concepts that required rereading? Did you get distracted? Did you need to look up unfamiliar terms? These factors help you plan more accurately next time. Now let's address the elephant in the room: procrastination. Simply put, procrastination is delaying tasks that need completion. We all do it to varying degrees. Procrastination becomes problematic when it becomes chronic, when you have multiple tasks and little time, or when the delayed task is very important. Understanding why we procrastinate is crucial. On the surface, we tell ourselves it's because we don't want to do the task, or we convince ourselves other things are more important. But deeper causes include lack of energy, lack of focus, and perhaps surprisingly, fear of failure. This last one is particularly insidious because many people aren't consciously aware of it. Fear of failure involves psychological trickery. The person avoids a task because they're afraid they can't do it well. If they fail, it will make them appear incompetent to others or themselves. By avoiding the task, they can rationalize that failure was due to running out of time, not inability to do the task in the first place. It's self-protective, but ultimately self-defeating. The effects of procrastination are serious. Obviously, there's loss of time, the most visible effect. But there's also loss of goals, loss of self-esteem, and increased stress and anxiety. Some students think stress from procrastination provides motivational urgency. While this may have worked in high school, college work almost always involves underestimating task complexity, sometimes with disastrous results. Consider something you may be procrastinating about right now. Can you identify the cause? Is it lack of energy, lack of focus, or fear of not doing it well enough? Strategies for managing procrastination include getting organized, putting aside distractions, rewarding yourself for completion, and being accountable to someone else. That last point is powerful. Telling someone else you're going to do something and when creates psychological commitment. We feel compelled to follow through, perhaps due to our need for approval or simply the act of public commitment. This brings us to distractions, which are the primary way people procrastinate. We need to distinguish between internal and external distractions because they require different strategies. Internal distractions are your own thoughts and emotions. These include thoughts about pressing responsibilities, pleasant things you'd rather be doing, emotions about life circumstances, fears, and worries. Major world events and personal struggles can be significant sources of internal distraction. During the pandemic, for example, many students found it nearly impossible to concentrate on coursework while processing global uncertainty. Strategies for managing internal distractions start with making a daily plan. Schedule time for each task, work in short chunks, no more than 1 hour at a time, then take breaks. Incorporate changes of scenery. Take breaks by walking around your neighborhood. Discover your optimal time of day for challenging assignments. Many people find doing difficult tasks first thing in the morning prevents getting caught up in distractions. Choose your study location carefully. Does working in bed make you tired? Try somewhere designated exclusively for work, a desk, comfortable chair, coffee shop, or library. When distracting thoughts arise during study, write them on a post-it note and save them for later. This way you won't forget, but you can put them aside until you finish working. Get enough rest. Everyone is more distracted when tired. Aim for 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night. Engage in self-talk. If your mind wanders, tell yourself to get back on task. Set SMART goals. We'll discuss this in detail shortly. Having specific objectives helps you stay focused and motivated. Practice self-regulation by being aware of and controlling your behaviors and thoughts. If you're in the library and distracted by someone talking nearby, move to another table. External distractions originate outside of you. Technology like phones, social media, websites, video games, Netflix, other people, or environmental noise. Choose a study setting that matches your academic task. The library has tools to help find different study environments. Ask yourself, can you really stay focused in your dorm room? How can you manage distractions within your home? What's better for your current task? A group setting or working alone? The library or a cozy coffee shop? Do you work better with complete silence or background noise? Consider using background sound like white noise, rain sounds, or coffee shop ambiance. These can mask distracting environmental sounds while providing consistent audio texture. Seek accountability from friends, roommates, or classmates. Give your phone to someone to hold while studying. Study virtually with friends through video chat to keep each other accountable. Take charge of technology distractions. Leave your smartphone in another room while studying. Use internet blocking sites or self-management tools during focused work time. Let me address a particularly damaging form of distraction, what people call multitasking. The uncomfortable truth is that multitasking is physically impossible for the human brain. We cannot focus on more than one thing at a time. It takes more cognitive effort to switch back and forth between tasks than to complete one task fully before starting another. Yes, you can listen to a podcast while cleaning the house, but coherently replying to an email while listening to someone speak in a Zoom meeting, you're not doing as good a job as you think. What we actually do isn't multitasking, it's continuous partial attention, continuously paying partial attention to everything happening around us during the day. The difference is crucial. Multitasking is something we do to save time or be more efficient, like reviewing notes in your head while walking to class. Continuous partial attention is driven by fear of missing out. It's stopping mid-email to respond to a text while glancing at instant messages on your computer screen. Both require the brain to switch back and forth, but continuous partial attention is reactive, not intentional. This constant reactivity becomes our default mode. We create habits of being perpetually on and available. Over time, this changes neural pathways in our brains. The more we try to keep up with technological communication, the more we forget how to engage in meaningful face-to-face communication. This damages our ability to create and maintain genuine relationships. The statistics are sobering. Before the pandemic, about 20% of Americans reported always feeling lonely. By January 2020, that number jumped to 60%, and that was before COVID-19 hit. Notifications on phones and computers trigger dopamine responses, the same chemical associated with pleasurable activities like eating delicious food, winning at gambling, or sexual activity. This reward chemical keeps us coming back repeatedly. Responding to notifications becomes more than a habit. It can be genuinely addictive. Nearly 50% of Americans admit they feel addicted to their phones. The antidote is mindfulness, paying attention and maintaining focus in the current moment. This is basically the opposite of continuous partial attention. Rather than frantically reacting to everything coming at us, mindfulness allows us to pause and reflect so we can maintain focus and presence of mind in the current moment. Mindfulness facilitates genuine connection in relationships. More mindful people have more satisfying relationships. Counterintuitively, more mindful people also get more done. By replacing continuous partial attention habits with mindfulness, we meet our need for connection through healthier, more effective methods. The goal isn't to stop your thoughts or control them completely. We want to direct our thoughts and consciously choose them. Be aware of thoughts without necessarily becoming them. Let's try a brief exercise. List one internal distraction you commonly experience and one external distraction. Now choose one strategy from what we've discussed to address each. Write these down. Moving to prioritization, another crucial time management skill. Prioritization means ordering tasks and allotting time based on their identified needs or value. The enemy of good prioritization is panic, or making decisions based on strictly emotional reactions. It's natural to want to remove stressful situations as quickly as possible, but this can lead to poor choices. When juggling multiple problems or tasks, prioritizing first may mean the difference between completing everything satisfactorily and completing nothing at all. Start by understanding the requirements of each task. If you have multiple assignments and assume one will take an hour, you may decide to put it off. This assumption could be disastrous if that assignment actually has components you didn't account for. Some assignments may be dependent on others, like participating in a study and then writing a report on the results. If you're unaware of this dependency, you could do assignments out of order and have to start over. Make decisions based on importance, impact on other priorities, and urgency. After understanding requirements, you can decide priorities based on what needs finishing in which order. Some people find it helpful to create a quadrant map based on importance and urgency, traditionally called the Eisenhower Decision Matrix, named after President Eisenhower, who used this technique during World War II. Important and urgent tasks get done first, followed by important but not urgent, then not important but urgent, and finally not urgent and not important. Remember that different people may be driving your tasks. Instructors, managers, friends. They're often unaware of your other responsibilities and may have conflicting goals. Your boss might want you to work overtime the same evening you plan to research a paper. Keeping others informed about your priorities can help prevent conflicts. Sometimes, despite careful planning, events make it impossible to accomplish everything by the required time. This is when prioritization becomes most critical. If you can only complete one of two important, urgent assignments, you need to understand all factors involved. The assignment worth more points isn't necessarily the right choice. One assignment might be worth minimal points, but be foundational to the rest of the course. Not finishing it could jeopardize future assignments, or one instructor might have a more forgiving late assignment policy. The key is being aware of all ramifications to make the best decision when forced to make hard choices among priorities. Consider a priority conflict you might face this week. What information would you need before deciding how to handle it? This brings us to goal setting, one of the most effective ways to maintain motivation and guide prioritization decisions. Goals can be large or small, from "I will write one extra page tonight" to "I will graduate in the top of my class." The great thing about goals is they can include and influence multiple smaller actions that work toward a bigger picture. If your goal is to earn an A in a course, all the reading, studying, and assignments contribute to that larger goal. You have motivation to do each task well. But goals must be things you're genuinely interested in achieving. Think back to childhood when adults set goals for you that didn't appeal to you. How motivated were you? More likely, if you achieved those goals, it was because you wanted approval, expected a reward, or feared consequences. Your real goal was based on something else. Effective goals should be SMART: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. These traits help you plan how to meet the goal and contribute to decision-making during planning. Specific means defined enough to determine what exactly constitutes achieving the goal. Get a good job when I graduate is too general. What defines good? It doesn't even specify a job in your chosen profession. More specific goal? Be hired as a nurse in a workplace I find enjoyable with room for promotion. Measurable means the goal has clearly defined outcomes detailed enough to measure and plan around. Do well in school is undefined, but graduate with a GPA above 3.0 is measurable. If your goal is measurable, you can calculate how many points you need on specific assignments to stay in range, or how many points you need to make up if you fall short. Achievable means reasonable and within your ability to accomplish. Make an extra $1 million by the end of the week might be nice, but the odds of making that happen in a single week aren't realistic. Relevant means it applies to your situation. For college success, getting a horse to ride isn't very relevant, but getting dependable transportation would contribute to your academic success. Time-bound means setting a specific time frame to achieve the goal. "I will get my paper written by Wednesday" is time-bound. "I will get my paper written sometime soon" doesn't help you plan. Let's practice. Take a vague goal you have and rewrite it as a SMART goal. For example, change "I want to improve my study habits" to something like, "I will complete all reading assignments within 24 hours of them being posted for the next 4 weeks." Your assignment requires 3 SMART goals: one short-term, 1 2-months, 1 midterm, 5 6-months, and 1 long-term. Each must demonstrate all 5 SMART elements. Make an action plan for achieving your goals. Break down the steps, identify required resources and skills, set realistic deadlines, and build in flexibility for unexpected challenges. Many professional project managers expect something to go wrong and add extra time to account for inevitable delays, mistakes, or complications. Now I want to address something that might seem contradictory. What to do when goals feel overwhelming rather than motivating? Large goals can trigger avoidance. When something feels too hard, your brain naturally says, "Let's do something easier." The solution isn't to abandon the goal, but to make the first step smaller. If you want to save money, but the thought of cutting back on everything feels overwhelming, start with tracking expenses for 1 week. If you want to get healthier, but running every day seems exhausting, start with a 10-minute walk. Make tasks small enough to feel manageable. If you want to write a book, don't think about 200 pages. Write one sentence today. Small steps feel less scary and create positive momentum. Create easy routines rather than relying on willpower. Willpower runs out, but routines become automatic. If you want to exercise, put your workout clothes by your bed so it's easy to get started when you wake up. Use the 2-minute rule. The hardest part is starting, so promise yourself you'll work on something for just 2 minutes. Want to read a textbook chapter? Read for 2 minutes. Want to clean your study space? Clean for 2 minutes. Once you start, it's easier to keep going. It's like pushing a ball down a hill. The first push is hard, but after that, it rolls on its own. Reward yourself for starting. After your 2-minute session, celebrate in a small way. Listen to a favorite song, take a short break, or acknowledge the accomplishment. Rewards make starting feel good. Think of one task you've been avoiding. How could you use the 2-minute rule to get started? What would be the smallest possible first step? Remember, you don't need to be perfect, you need to be consistent. Small efforts done regularly create massive change over time. Focus on progress, not perfection. Let's connect this to your assignments. For the discussion forum, you'll complete the time estimator exercise, then answer questions about helpful and hindering behaviors, daily priorities, and time management methods. Start by breaking down sections 3.1 to 3.4 of your textbook reading. Estimate how long you think each section will take, then record your actual start and end times as you read. Note the difference between estimated and actual time. Record any distractions that occurred, phone notifications, people interrupting, your mind wandering, other tasks pulling your attention. After completing the time estimator, reflect on what behaviors help or hinder your time management. Consider insights from the assigned resources and your data collection. Describe how you currently decide daily priorities and what factors influence your prioritization. What methods, techniques, or tools will you use to manage your time going forward? Explain how these approaches will help you become more efficient and self-motivated. Remember to cite at least one assigned resource using APA format, and keep your response between 350-500 words. For your main assignment, you'll create 3 SMART goals and complete your academic success plan. This is the culmination of work you began in week 5. Your 3 SMART goals should align with academic and personal growth. Perform a self-check to confirm all 5 SMART elements are present in each goal. The assessment focuses on identifying these elements, not judging the goals themselves. Complete the final sections of your academic success plan. This document serves as your roadmap for degree completion, tracking progress, and overcoming challenges. Write a separate 400-550-word reflection comparing your previous goal-setting experience to the SMART framework. Is this approach new to you, or have you used it before? Explain how time management and SMART goals will contribute to your educational journey. How will you use the academic success plan to support progress toward earning your degree? Support your arguments with high-quality, credible, relevant sources. Use proper APA citations and references. Format your work in Times New Roman, no larger than 12-point font, double-spaced. The rubric evaluates whether all SMART elements are identifiable in your 3 goals, whether your academic success plan is complete and attached, how well you compare personal goal-setting experience to the SMART framework, and how clearly you explain using these tools for academic success. You'll also be assessed on effective use of information sources, proper citations, clear communication, and meeting word count and formatting requirements. As you work on these assignments, remember what we've covered. University time management is about autonomy and self-direction. Accurate time estimation helps you plan realistically. Procrastination often stems from deeper causes than simple avoidance. Managing both internal and external distractions requires different strategies. What people call multitasking is usually task switching or continuous partial attention, both of which reduce effectiveness. Mindfulness helps you choose attention deliberately. Good prioritization requires understanding task requirements and making decisions based on importance, impact, and urgency rather than panic. SMART goals provide structure and measurability. When goals feel overwhelming, break them into small steps, create easy routines, and use the 2-minute rule to overcome inertia. Choose one insight from the time estimator exercise that you could apply to your academic success plan. Maybe you discovered reading takes longer than expected, or that certain distractions consistently interrupt your work. How could you adjust your planning based on this insight? What specific change would help you manage time more effectively going forward? Let me leave you with this. Good time management isn't about being busy. Busy can be a form of avoidance, a way to feel productive without necessarily being effective. Effective time management is about choosing attention deliberately, planning based on realistic assessments, reducing avoidable friction, and turning meaningful goals into manageable actions. It's about recognizing that time is finite and non-renewable. So the question isn't how to find more time, it's how to use the time you have more intentionally. As you complete your time estimator and develop your SMART goals, you're not just finishing assignments, you're developing skills that will serve you throughout university and beyond. The habits you build now, realistic planning, distraction management, meaningful goal setting, these become the foundation for sustained academic success and personal satisfaction. You're nearly at the end of this course, but in many ways, you're just beginning to apply what you've learned. The strategies we've discussed today are tools, not rules. Adapt them to your circumstances, personality, and goals. Remember that everyone starts small. The people you admire struggled too, but they kept going. You don't have to be perfect, you just need to start, be consistent, and adjust based on what you learn about yourself. Time estimator data will give you valuable insights into your actual study patterns. Use those insights. Your SMART goals will provide structure and direction. Follow them. Your academic success plan will serve as your roadmap. Refer to it regularly, update it as needed, and let it guide your decisions about how to spend your limited, valuable time. The next time you feel overwhelmed by competing priorities, remember the tools we've discussed. Understand requirements first, make decisions based on importance and urgency rather than panic, and break large goals into small, manageable steps. The next time you find yourself procrastinating, pause and ask why. Is it lack of energy, lack of focus, fear of failure? Address the root cause, not just the symptom. The next time you feel distracted, distinguish between internal and external distractions, then choose appropriate strategies. Write down competing thoughts, manage your environment, practice self-regulation. The next time you feel tempted to multitask, remember that what you're probably doing is continuous partial attention. Choose one thing, focus completely, then move to the next task. Time management is self-management. It's not about rigid scheduling or productivity theater. It's about knowing what you want, planning how to achieve it, and executing efficiently. As you move into the final week of this course and beyond into your continued university journey, carry these insights forward. They will serve you well. Good luck with your time estimator exercise and your SMART goals assignment. Use them as opportunities to practice the principles we've discussed and to build habits that will support your long-term success.